May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. May I begin by saying how good it is to be with you here at the Cathedral as your Canon Missioner and also in the Diocese of Southwark serving the parishes as well. People have made me feel so very welcome. And I also want to join with the Dean in welcoming Xanthi and her family on this very special day, her baptism. What a privilege it is to preach today. But this weekend has been a weekend of momentous events, has it not? The world has gathered in one place. They have seen a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. There's a palpable sense of celebration and thanksgiving. All in all, it is a very special day. It is Pentecost. Oh, as well as being the royal wedding weekend. You see, I couldn't feel that yesterday's events could go unacknowledged in my sermon, but as I've alluded to, there are a number of theological parallels which are worthy of note as we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. The church is described as a bride in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, and in Acts chapter 2, that bride of Christ makes her first public engagement in the center of Jerusalem, in front of representatives from all over the known world. Okay, yesterday wasn't Meghan Markle's first public engagement. But the bride of Christ and yesterday's bride has both an interesting backstory, yet regardless of this, she is welcomed into royalty. Now, we know why the whole world is gathered in Windsor this weekend. However, why were people from around the known world gathered in Jerusalem at that time? The reason why Jewish converts were gathered in Jerusalem was in order to celebrate Shavuot. Shavuot has a double significance to the Jews. It commemorates both the anniversary of the day God gave the Torah to the entire nation of Israel, as Moses went to Mount Sinai, and it marks the all-important wheat harvest in the land of Israel. So Shavuot is both a time of the giving of the law to guide its people and also harvest time, time of celebration. And the events of the book of Ruth occur at that harvest time. If you've not read the book of Ruth, I do commend it to you. A beautifully constructed four-chapter book full of emotion, pathos, and joy. And Ruth, like another bride of this present moment, is something of an outsider. She has no rights of inclusion in God's royal people, the covenant people of Israel. And yet, that book was celebrated by the Jews as an example of hesed, loving kindness, a major theme in the book of the Torah. Just by way of an aside, how much we need hesed, loving kindness, in Israel-Palestine at this time. So here were people from around the known world celebrating the giving of the law and also remembering the harvest and retelling the story of Ruth, one of their own, an outsider made good, and Pentecost comes. It marks a turning point of the loving kindness, the hesed of God, for Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Clothed with power from on high. I can see that Xanthi is beautifully dressed for her baptism. I know that Meghan was beautifully dressed for her wedding. Yet as spirit-filled believers, we are differently clothed because of Pentecost. And in the rest of my time with you, I want to outline how the gift of the Holy Spirit clothes us with a new identity and places us within God's royal family. Firstly, we are clothed with praise. Verse 3 of our Bible reading speaks about tongues of fire which separated and came to rest upon the disciples, filling them with the Spirit and enabling them to speak in other tongues as that Spirit enabled them. They praised God as the Spirit enabled them. As I've said, the Jews celebrated Pentecost as a day when the law was given to the people on Mount Sinai. And it was the law that made the Jewish nation distinct. It was the law that enabled them to have a unique relationship because of this covenant. So how revolutionary it is that on that very day, the very celebration day, God should speak a new word of praise to many nations and through them to all nations. Pentecost was transformed from a harvest day for one nation to a harvest day for all nations, and it begins with praise. Do you want to be released to praise? There is much about our corporate cathedral worship that speaks of praise. It's in the architecture, it's in the liturgy, it's in the flowers, it's in the music. These and more are expressions of praise. Yet perhaps in our personal lives, and even when we come to corporate worship together, we don't always feel released in praise to God. Think about other settings where you praise, at a family celebration, at a sporting occasion, or at the theatre. When we come to church, somehow we are inhibited in our personal praise and adoration of God. If we are, what is holding us back? Is it what people might think of us? Is it the tension that we feel between our reverence towards God and the exuberance of what salvation has brought for us? Each one of us will be different. Yet the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is a fresh opportunity for us to speak again and ask for God to clothe us with the power of praise. Secondly, Pentecost clothes us with understanding. Language is an amazing thing. It's only when you start to learn another language do you understand that it's the heartbeat of the person. The language that I'm continuing to relearn at the moment is French, because I take regular trips to France, and where I stay, only French is spoken in that community. So it's essential that I understand the language of my adopted community. In my previous congregation, I had some fluent French speakers, Carole and Jean, and they would help me to converse in French. And it was so much better than using books or CD. Having a living language spoken to you by somebody who wants you to learn and wants to help you, it's truly the best way. What God did on Pentecost was to supernaturally enable Jesus' disciples to declare the wonders of God in our own tongues. The disciples could see that God was for them, and so could the crowd. God was for them, not against them. Now, as fun as it is to learn to speak French, what I would not give to be able to speak French fluently without thinking about it. That is what God gave to the disciples in order to help them communicate to these many nations that God was for everyone. And even though they were perplexed at times, Peter stood up amongst the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd, because Peter, by the Spirit, had been clothed with understanding. He understood what God was doing. The Spirit gave him divine understanding for the times and the circumstances that he was living through. And God's Spirit can do the same for us. As we ask for it, we can be clothed with the Spirit of understanding to speak out God's truth, to interpret the times in a language and for the culture in which we are in. So if you struggle to understand the events of these times, or if you struggle to understand the meaning of the Bible, ask afresh today to be clothed with understanding. Thirdly and finally today, our scripture tells us that the Spirit clothes us with generosity. The disciples didn't keep the good news of the gift of the Spirit to themselves. Instead, they shared it with others. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Peter and the other disciples, young and old, women and men, had received this wonderful gift from God, and they didn't want to keep it to themselves. They wanted to tell others. They wanted to demonstrate their newfound encounter with God, not just in words, read on in Acts of the Apostles, but in acts of service, in ministries of healing. In essence, they wanted to give away what they had received. When we truly understand the wonderful gift of God by His Spirit, we want to share it. So how this week, this month, this year, can we share with others what the Spirit is doing in our life? What can you do in word or deed to intentionally bless others with the generous gift of God? For if Pentecost is harvest time, it is not only a time for gathering, but also a time for sharing the abundance of God, not keeping it to ourselves. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That's what happened for the first disciples at the first Pentecost. They were clothed with praise. They were clothed with understanding. They were clothed with generosity. What do you need to ask God to clothe you with this Pentecost? Xanthe looks beautiful. She looks dressed and ready for her baptism. Megan's wedding dress was beautiful, but to each one of you I say, each Christian who has been filled with the Holy Spirit is clothed with a greater beauty, the Spirit of God Himself. May you know that inner beauty infusing and radiating your life now and forevermore. Amen.